turn there. The Lord said in the first verse, in the second verse, He said, take thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. So God preached the death to Abraham in a very significant way. You see, Abraham had a son by the name of Ishmael. And he was a son that was born really out of the will of God. But he loved him. It was his son. But there was a conflict between Ishmael and then the promised son Isaac when he came along some 12 years later. So there was a problem in the house of Abraham. And so the Lord said to Abraham, He said, you're going to have to let Ishmael go. So they packed up a little lunch and got a few things together. And Abraham had to say goodbye to his very own flesh and blood. And he thought, that's the hardest thing that I've ever had to do, was say goodbye to Ishmael. Well, some 20 years have passed by now, and there's been a lot of laughter in the tent. Isaac, his son, has become his delight and his chief joy. And they are enjoying just the little family, Abraham and Sarah and sweet little old Isaac. And everything's going smooth now. It seems like all of the rough patch has been passed over and now it's smooth sailing. Until the Lord breaks in and says to Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son, and I want you to offer him to me as a burnt offering. That stabbed the heart of Abraham like a hot knife. It sliced through his soul to its very core. Abraham was shaken to the very foundation of his faith that God would ask of him this kind of a sacrifice. That doesn't even sound like God. God had never asked anybody to do anything like that. But God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. See, Abraham got to see Calvary from a unique perspective. I see Calvary looking back through almost 2,000 years of time. I see Calvary from a sinner's perspective. I see Calvary through the appreciative eyes of one who has received the sacrifice and had my sins covered with its precious blood. And I see Calvary as that moment in time and in history where God stepped in with mercy. And I have a place that I can run to when I'm stained with sin and when I've fallen, and I can find restoration and I can find grace and I can embrace with mercy. Amen. And I have a chance to start all over again. But Abraham saw Calvary from God's perspective. He saw Calvary from the heart of a father that was willing to send his son to a place of sacrifice and death and suffering. He saw it from a different perspective. Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 53 verse 4 through verse 6, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned aside, everyone to his own way. And the Lord did lay upon him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Abraham saw Calvary from the perspective of suffering and the pain of a father that was sacrificing his own son. My, what a message. My, what a vision. He understood it in a way that few of us ever will. Abraham, how do you get through such a thing? How do you make it through that kind of a trial? I thought you were God's friend. Why would God ask something like that of you? Because Abraham was the father of faith. And God said, I'm going to try your faith like no one else. And God asked of him something that he only asked of himself. And Abraham, the Bible said, did not stagger at God's command. Abraham stepped up, hurting, fearful, doubt raging in his mind, but in his heart, he knew that he'd heard from God. Now listen, I know there's some wackos today that say, oh, God told me to sacrifice my child. No, he didn't. This was a one-time thing. This was a one-time thing. God never did it before. God will never do it after. It was just one time. But Abraham found something. The book of Hebrews, very insightful in the 11th chapter, verse 17. It says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. That's how Abraham made it. Not by reasoning. Not by understanding. You see, if you serve God, there are going to be times you're not going to know why. You're not going to understand things. But you're just going to keep standing. And you're going to keep walking. And you're going to keep pressing your way through. Not because you understand. Not because you know. But because you have faith. There is in your heart that settled assurance. When everything else is shaking around you. And people don't understand what's going on. And you don't understand. But inside there's something called faith that finds a foundation that says it's going to be all right. Abraham had that kind of faith. He had that kind of confidence in God. Now listen, it said by faith, Abraham, when he was tried. You understand, Abraham understood something. He said, God is trying me. God is showing me something about himself, and he's finding out what I'm made of. That's what trials do. Trials, you know, we sometimes talk about trials as just in a negative sense. But you know what? In a trial, you not only understand your weakness, But you learn where your strengths are. You learn, hey, I made it through that by the grace of God. Amen. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't believe that I could make it through something. But you did. You see, God sends us into trials. And He tests our faith. And He shows us things about Him. And He shows us things about ourselves. And so Abraham understood something. He said, God is trying me here. Just like He tried me when He called me out of Ur to come to this place. Just like He tried me when He said, you send Ishmael away and I'll take care of him. He's tried me again. I've passed the other test. By grace, I'll pass this test too. So Abraham understood that. Now, Paul, of course, is writing here and it's far removed from the fact it's, 2,000 years later now. And he's looking back through time and the Holy Ghost is showing him some things. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. Everybody say he offered up Isaac. You see, before Isaac ever left his house, his mind was made up. And it was just as good as done. In his heart and in his mind, he had already made the sacrifice. There was no reserve. There was no doubt. He was going to offer Isaac when he got there. In Abraham's mind, there was no vacillating. It was settled. And so he had already offered him up. And he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Now you see, this is how Abraham got through this thing. Because he knew what God had said. God said to this little boy right here, He said, I am going to bring blessing upon the earth. And He said, and nations are going to be born from the loins of this little boy. And that was a promise. And he understood one thing. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. And so he decided this. I don't know how God's going to do this, but He's going to do it. And that's what faith is, isn't it? Faith is when you don't know how in the world God's going to do something, but you know He's going to do it. He's going to pull it off, friend. He's going to make it, and you're going to make it by the grace of God. Verse 19, accounting, this is Abraham, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in the figure. It, in his mind, he'd already seen it. Amen. God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. When he told him to sacrifice Isaac, he understood the death. He went to Calvary, as it were. And literally, he was almost to Calvary when he got to Moriah. So God told him, He said, now Abraham, He said, I want you to go to a mountain that I'm going to show you. Now isn't it significant tonight that mountain was a three-day journey? Everybody say 3 days. Does that sound familiar? Anybody make any connection between 3 days in the gospel? Did something happen in 3 days? Seems like it did. So the Lord says, I want you. It was as if, you see, this was Abraham's Gethsemane. Just as Jesus went to Gethsemane and wept and cried and prayed, Abraham found an altar and he wept and he cried and he prayed until that peace of God came to him and let him know, this is my will and it's going to be all right. Yes. Amen. And after that, the Bible said that he rose up early in the morning. He didn't delay it. And he made his journey. Amen. Praise God. That was the death. Amen. And just as Jesus was 3 days in the grave, he was 3 days on his journey. God made sure that it was far enough that it connected perfectly, because he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching the gospel. And so for 3 days, just like Jesus was in the abode of the dead, it was as if he was encapsulated in that same place. I mean, I know his mind's made up. I know that he has faith. But you and I know tonight, even though you have faith and you know it's going to be all right, that between the time that you make up your mind and the time that deliverance comes, there's a battle that rages. Satan was doing his best. He was shooting every dart in his arsenal. He was telling him everything. If you loved your son, you wouldn't do something like that. If God loved you, he wouldn't require something like that. Him and everything came against Abraham during that 3-day journey. Isaac didn't know what was going on. All he knew was they were on a little journey and they were going to worship somewhere, because that's what Abraham called it. He said, This is worship. Worship, true worship, costs something. You can praise God without it costing you much. But you can't worship God without it costing you something. That's why a lot of people praise God and a few people worship God. But there's a difference in praise and worship. You can praise God and you can sing and you can shout, and I'm so glad you do. And you can run the aisles and you can talk in tongues and you can do all of that and you can get all of that, and it can all be basically about you. And you leave, oh, I was so blessed, and me and myself and I and God, me and my and myself and I. And that kind of reveals what it's about. Amen. But worship's about Him. Worship's about Him. It has little to do with me. It just amounts to what I can do for Him. So Abraham on the third day comes to this place called Moriah. It's actually present-day Jerusalem. I've been to the place where they say it happened. I don't know. Tradition says that if you've ever seen a picture of Jerusalem, there's this beautiful mosque, and it's called Dome of the Rock. It's got a golden top on it. Perhaps you've seen that. It's a beautiful, beautiful building. That's on Mount Moriah. That's where the temple one time stood. And they say that on that place that Abraham offered Isaac. And they say that on that same rock, Muhammad got on his horse and rode to heaven. I don't know about that either, but that's what they say. I'm not sure it's all of these things are tradition. We don't really know exact geographic locations. I'm not totally convinced that perhaps even could have been the site of Calvary. Who knows? That might have been a place where a cross stood one day. I don't know. Tradition says differently, but God knows exactly what happened there. But I do know this. I do know that it was at that place, at that mount, that he understood burial, because he'd been buried for 3 days fighting to get back to the top. When they got to this place called Moriah, the Bible says in verse number 5, that Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. I want you to get these last words. And come again to you. Now see, that's faith speaking. He said, we've come to Moriah. I know what's ahead. But you fellas wait right here. Because we, not just me, but we are coming back. Amen. He heard something. You see, that's what prayer will do for you. When you commune with God and you allow God to commune with you, you not only talk to God, but you let God talk back. And you hear from Him. And when you hear, there's enough strength to carry you through anything. So He says, we're coming back. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son Isaac. Isn't that significant? He took the wood and he laid it on his son's back. And he said, now Isaac, you're going to carry the wood. I remember about 2,000 years later, there was another son that took the wood upon his back. And he carried that wood to the place of worship. You know what God's doing? He's preaching the gospel to Abraham. He said, now you take the wood. Abraham took the fire. And Abraham took the knife. And they went together. Everybody say they went together. Amen. He didn't go alone. He didn't send Isaac. He went with him. When God sends you into the trial of your life, I promise you're not going to walk alone. He's going to be right there with you. No matter what happens, no matter what comes, you're not going to be alone. God will be there. Amen. And Isaac spoke to Abraham's father and he said, my father, here's the question. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb? Seems we forgot something. You talk about slapping Abraham. Where's the lamb, Dad? But Abraham simply replied, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. You see, that's the question that rang for thousands of years. Where's the lamb? From the time of the garden when Adam fell and sacrifice was offered, it was continually, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Until the time that John stood on a riverbank and pointed to his cousin Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. And he said, God will provide. Verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. The Lord said, this is far enough, Abraham, right here. This is the place. And Abraham built an altar there. He'd been doing that all of his life. Ever since he left Ur, he'd been building altars. Places where he could meet with God. So he got his stones together. He knew how to do it. And he laid them all in their place. And then he laid the wood in its place. God, any time now, You can step in, you know. Anytime, God. But heaven was silent. And he turned around and he said, Isaac, I've got to tell you something, son. Today, you're going to have to be the lamb. So the Bible says that he bound him. And he laid him down on the wood. And he reached for his knife. Somewhere down deep inside it said, Abraham, it's going to be all right. But it took everything that he had to get this far. He lifted his knife. Anytime, God. Brother Bacon, it says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. He heard from heaven that day. The angel called and said unto him, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him, because now I know. Now I know. And now, not only did the Lord know, not only did Abraham know, but you and I know the depth of Abraham's faith and the solidarity of his relationship with God. God preached the gospel. Amen. He saw the death. He preached the burial. And you talk about joy. When he took that knife and he cut those bonds and he got a hold of his hand and he raised him up off of that altar. You talk about a resurrection. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, in Abraham's mind, he was as good as gone. He was already dead. And when he lifted him up and raised him up for that altar, it was a resurrection. And he was receiving his son back from the dead again. And the promise was still alive. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, God preached the death and the burial and the resurrection to Abraham. And he left that place with a steady faith and with an excitement and with a joy like he'd never known. Amen. Praise God. Now, we know that he saw a ram that was caught in some bushes. I don't believe that was bad luck. I believe that was provision. And Abraham believed that too, because he named that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Amen. Hallelujah. And they developed a little saying from that. It said, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. In other words, there's some things you're not going to understand till you go to the mountain. You're not going to understand it when you're in your prayer room. You're not going to understand it till you get to that place that God told you to get to. But when you get there, you will understand. Amen. God preached the gospel to Abraham. Amen. 2,000 years of time passed and another son came, and God didn't deliver him the way he did Isaac. He allowed him to go to the place called Calvary. He allowed them to drive the nails in his hands and his feet and raise him to heaven and feel the ripping of his flesh as that rugged cross thudded into the ground and the rocks, and watched him as he bled and he agonized and he suffered and he died. Took down that body, took it to a tomb, prepared it, buried it, rolled a stone in front of it. Amen. But on the third day, just like he said, amen. On the third day, when Mary came to the tomb, oh, what am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? How in the world are we going to roll away the stone? And when they got there, we spend a lot of time worrying about stuff that never happens. When they got there, the stone was rolled away. Now that stone wasn't rolled away for Jesus' sake. He could have come out through the stone. He could have shattered the stone. That wasn't holding him in there. Amen. The stone was rolled away for their sake. Because the Lord said, I want you to understand something. I'm not here. He said, now, angels, you tell him. He is not here. He's risen. And behold, he's alive. And he's alive forevermore. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm glad I know the gospel. Preacher, how do you know this is not just some... You know, a guy wrote a book some years ago that all this was made up. He said it's a one big farce. He said all that happened was that Jesus, this was his word, he said he swooned. He swooned. So they put him in the grave, and then while they wasn't looking, somebody come and stole his body and took him out. And, you know, that's what it is. He wasn't dead. He just swooned. And there were some preachers, some very liberal preachers that preached that for a time. Some still do. One good pastor had a response to that. He said, why don't you take your pastor, beat him with 40 stripes, hang him in the sun with nails in his hands and his feet, thrust a spear up through his side, then get him down off the cross and throw him in a hot tomb for 3 days and see if he swoons. No, he didn't swoon. He died. They knew he was dead. Man, they buried him because he was dead. Amen. But on the third day, just like Isaac, amen, he came back because he made a promise. The scripture says that he endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. He looked ahead, he had a promise that if I'll go through this, I'll be able to conquer sin for everybody. I'll be able to deliver sinners. I'll be able to forgive the fallen and restore them. I'll be able to bridge the gap that exists between myself and my people. He said, I'm willing to do that. If this is what it costs, I'll do that. If this is what it takes, I'll do that. Amen. It cost him something. I want you to know tonight, this is not a cheap salvation you and I have. This is not something bought in a bargain basement somewhere. This was costly. It cost God everything. It shouldn't cost us any less. Is it unreasonable that God would ask us anything? Is it unreasonable? Could God ask you for something that wouldn't be reasonable after all of that? Didn't Paul say that we are to offer our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? And he said, when you've done that, that's just your reasonable service. That's not bragging rights. That's just what you ought to do. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you tonight for your time and attention. God, preach the gospel. 42 generations before Jesus Christ ever came. To his friend, a man called Abraham. It seemed hard. Oh, so difficult. But oh, the rewards of obeying God. That was Abraham's last big test. Nothing like that ever happened again. Just one time. God is going to ask some things of you. And when he does, I hope you remember when God preached the gospel to Abraham. And I hope you remember Jesus and what he did for you and what he did for me. I hope you'll take a journey back to Calvary, to the tomb. And don't just weep there, but behold the resurrection. And know that he's not in an empty grave, but he's alive forevermore. Amen. Jesus, did he not say to his disciples, he said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. You see the difference? He said, I'm with you, but I'm getting ready to be in you. Now, it's close fellowship to be with somebody. But it's really close fellowship when you're in somebody. Amen. Jesus said, close is not good enough. I literally want to be one with you. It's like he said tonight in this beautiful message that he gave us. He wants to be one with us. He and us. We and him. Amen. You see, if you take this bottle here and it's full of water, and you take this and you put it in the ocean, then this is in the water. Amen. And the water's in it. And they're one. Still, it still has an appearance. It still has a shape. It still has a form. But it is so consumed and so much a part that not only is it in the water, but the water's in it. Amen. And that's the way God wants us to be. That we're so in Him that yes, we have our distinct person and personality, but that we are so in Him that, and He's so in us, that we're one. Amen. Praise God. And the only distinction is the form, but everything else is the same. I want to be like that. Amen. Praise God that His Spirit can be that much a part of our lives. Praise God. Amen. Aren't you thankful for Calvary tonight? Aren't you thankful for the death and the burial, the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does that still mean something to us? That's the bedrock of Christianity. That's what separates us from all other faiths. Amen. There's nothing in all the world like this. There's not another religion like this. Amen. There's not another one. This is it. Thank God for the gospel. Amen. I think it'd be good. We're going to go feast in just a moment in the natural, but I think it'd be good to respond a little tonight. Just spend a few moments at the altar thanking God for the gospel. Thanking God for the death, for the burial, and for the resurrection. thanking God for repentance, baptism in Jesus' name.